I just need to inform everyone that the conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you.
Okay, Glenn, what I did is in my interest statement that just hit the list, I sort of disclosed my participation in the various constituencies, but as I said last week, I will be wearing primarily a .coop registry hat in connection with the activities within this working group.
Thank you, Michael.
But Michael, I'm sorry, but you have to represent a constituency. Is that who it is?
I am speaking on behalf of .coop.
What Marilyn's saying is, it'll be the registries. Yeah.
Well, is that okay, Mike, if I say that?
Yeah, that's fine, sure.
Okay. So, okay, let's get going.
Sorry, then we've got Greg Chatton, who is ITC. Is that right, Greg?
That is correct.
And Greg is with what company?
I'm with Reed Smith Law Firm in the New York office.
If you want, Marilyn, you can just read the contact list. It has all this information.
Mike, I think it needs to be on the record.
Caroline Greer, who is from Affiliates and with the registry constituency.
Sorry, I'm from .mobi.
Oh, sorry, .mobi.
Yeah. Okay.
Mike Rodenbach from the business constituency. Seth Jacoby from the, help me, Seth.
Registrars.
Basic Fusion. I'm not Seth, obviously. But.
Thanks, Chuck.
Tim Ruiz from the Registrar constituency and Tamara Resnick from the ITC constituency.
Yeah. Okay, does that cover it?
That's right, Chuck.
So if I'm correct here in my memory, then Aubrey has not joined. Is that correct?
We have apologies from John Nevitt, Avery Doria, and Alistair Dixon.
Okay, thank you. Okay. And is Dan Doherty on? No? Okay, but of course we've got Mike, so I just going through the list here. And did you say Tamara was on?
Yes.
Okay, good. So my memory isn't doing very well, huh, on the list. John, I talked to yesterday down in Santa Monica. He's traveling. Okay, very good. Now, Suzanne Sen, has she joined us? No. Okay.
And, were you expecting her?
Didn't know for sure. She said she would be an observer from the GAC.
Good.
And she is added to the list and everything. But no, not necessarily. But just asking. I was just going through the list here. So okay, let's jump right into the agenda. Because we have a very full agenda. I want to welcome Tamara and Lucila, and Mike, and also Tim, as new to our group. I mentioned Suzanne Sen from NTIA, that she'll be an observer from the GAC. And so welcome to all the new ones. The first thing I'd like to do is just hopefully everybody's had a chance to look at the agenda. Any problems with the agenda? Can we proceed as is? Any suggestions, changes?
Chuck, I haven't had a chance to look at it, but why don't we just work through it, and if we need to add anything, we can do it at the end.
That's fine. Anybody else? Okay, then we'll just proceed, assuming it's okay. Some logistical updates. First of all, has anybody had any problems with the mailing list? Is that working okay? It's working fine from my end. Okay. How about the transcriptions and recordings of the meetings? Is that working okay for everybody? Does everybody know where to find those? You can actually go to the GNSO site and look at the master calendar, and then go to the date for the meeting, and Glenn posts the both the MP3 and the transcription links to those there. So. And then I think you also, Glenn, notify people when they're available.
Yes, that's right.
Thanks. Excuse me if I cough a little bit. I've kind of got a nasty cold, so I've got a big, tall cup of tea here, and I'll have some cough drops in my throat to so that I can continue to function. Everybody's okay then with the transcriptions and the recordings. As I hopefully many of you have seen, Tim Denton has been hired by ICANN as a consultant to provide staff support for this working group. Some of us know Tim from several years ago when he was quite actively involved in the registrar's constituency and including other things in the DNSO at that time. So welcome on board for Tim, and he's going to make it more realistic for a lot of us to do our job in this with the support he gives us. So I really appreciate his support, as well as Glenn's support and all the administrative support she gives. Glenn, can you give us a status of the who has not submitted interest statements for the group so far?
Certainly, Chuck. We have not had interest statements from Alistair Dixon.
I thought I saw one from Alistair. Did I not see one from Alistair?
For GNSO Council, there was one.
Oh, that's right. It was Council. And part of my problem is I'm mixing those two lists up in my head. So, okay, so Alistair has not for this one. Okay.
Avery Doria.
Hi.
Mike Rodenbach. Dan Jagaty. Greg Shatton. Lucilla King. Tamara Resnick. Jonathan Nevitt. Seth Jacoby. Caroline Greer. And that's all. I'm very sorry. Avery has sent in.
Yeah, I thought I saw Avery's there.
Yes. So.
Okay, excellent. Okay. Glenn, could you send an email to each of those people, excluding Avery, and ask them to submit their interest statement not later than our next meeting? I think we need those before we proceed much further, and if people can't get them in, then they'll have to drop off the group until they get them in. Any problems with that?
No, I have no problem with that, Chuck. And in fact, if you'd like, I can give a brief one for Yahoo that would basically apply to Dan and I.
Mike, it's okay if you just to do it via email. I don't want these things to drag on and us to have to keep asking for them each week. So if people don't get them in by our next meeting, I think that they'll have to drop off the group until they can get them in. We're not looking for anything terribly elaborate. Just, you know, we all have interests, and in particular with regard to reserve names, it's important that each of us identify especially those interests that relate to the topic that we're going to be dealing with here. So, in fact, that's why I kind of had to redo mine, because I really didn't fully cover VeriSign's interests, even though we don't have any particular objective with regard to this particular group. We would possibly be impacted by reserve names changes for .net and .com, and I needed to be more clear on that.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. But it is important to people need to understand that it's an individual statement of interest. But I guess that I would understand that there are two people from one company on the working group.
Yeah, I think that's the case. But Marilyn, I just one qualification. I agree that it should be a personal statement of interest, but to the extent that people are associated with organizations, as you did in your statement,
fine,
that should be pointed out, those organizations' interests as well.
Sure, I just didn't know, since a lot of people are new to the concept of interest groups, of interest statements.
Yeah, and please understand that it's not a problem having interest. You probably wouldn't expect you to be involved, or you probably wouldn't even be very helpful if you didn't have some interest. So, but it's important for us all of us to understand what those interests are when we're dealing with the issues that we'll be dealing with.
And just, I would just say, in the interest of brief disclosure, so that I can participate in this call with some comfort, that, you know, clearly Yahoo is interested in the release of the single letters. And we've posted a letter to the ICANN board over a year ago now that can be found in the correspondence section of the website if anyone's interested.
Thanks, Mike. Okay. Going on into agenda item 5, I had several action items from our first meeting last week. I did send you an updated contact list. Unfortunately, in one case, I sent it to the list, the wrong list. I have a little private distribution list and that I should have sent it to, and I will do that in the future. But they are going to try and remove that from the archives so that it's not hanging out there for everybody to see. And it looks like I left a couple people off. Mike already alerted me that I had left him off. I got you on my personal distribution list, Mike, but I didn't on the group one. So I've since added Mike. And Lucila, did you receive that table that I sent on that? I think you're missing on it, too, unless I just overlooked it. I don't think you're on there either. Is there anybody else that I left off?
She's on the table. Lucila's on the table, Chuck.
Oh, she is. Okay. Good. Good. All right. Glad to hear that. For some reason, I don't know if I'm looking at an old one or what. But
and so is Mike Pelage.
Yeah, I have Mike on there. Yeah, I see Mike. I just, for some reason, didn't see Lucila on mine that I'm looking at right now, but I'll work on that after the call. Make sure everybody's in. Let me know, please. Just send me an email if somebody's missing on that so that we have it on there. And the purpose of that is so that, first of all, we can readily see where people are from and have some contact information in case it's useful to contact each other individually. So, and certainly everybody knows we need to respect people's private information in that regard. Okay. Then also I was supposed to contact Krista Spain, and I did. Chris has informed me that the CCNSO is in the process of selecting an observer to this working group, and so he will let me know once that person is identified, and that person will be added to our group. Exchanged messages with Ram Mohan, the chair of the IDN working group, and they also would like to have an observer, and Ram is going to work on identifying someone and let us know on that. And then last of all, I was supposed to send out a revised version of the comparison of the GTLD registry reserve names, and I did send that out on Monday, version 2, and we're going to be going over that this morning, so if you have that access to that while we're doing this, it'll probably be great. Our next agenda item is really to do that, to go over that in a lot of detail. I hope that the document made sense, but I'll certainly answer any questions. And Patrick's on the phone. He provided some good input on that, as well as some of the registries did, too, to make sure that it was all accurate. And I think it's in pretty good shape right now, but certainly feel free to identify any errors that might still be there. But as a starting point of looking at the role of reserve names, it's really important that all of us on the group understand what the existing contractual requirements are. And they're not the same in every case. In some cases they are, in some cases they aren't. And we'll go through that right now. Any questions or comments before we start going through that document? Okay.
Chuck, it's Luke here. I'm sorry, I didn't announce myself because I was just waiting for a break in the call. I just wanted to double-check something before you get into your comparison,
sure.
That the purpose of reviewing the existing registry contract conditions was to determine for the new TLDs process whether it was sensible to be continuing with the existing policy of reserve names, however that might be formulated. as a guide to applicants for the new TLD process about appropriate strings and then appropriate conditions for successful registry operators. Are you running that dual track, or are you doing one thing at a time?
Let me make sure. Okay. Rephrase your question for me. What do you mean by dual track? Okay, it seems to me that the reserve names requirements and register agreements also help us deal with the broader question of the role of domain names. Now, that's not our purpose this morning, okay? This morning, we're just going to look at the requirements so that we all understand them and what they are today. And then going forward, we would apply that in terms of how it might relate to new TLDs and other working groups or policy development efforts that might be initiated in the future, et cetera. But this morning, it's just a matter of understanding what is in all 16 registry agreements as of today.
Great. Thanks, Chuck.
Okay. All right. any other comments or questions before I start? And please feel free, anyone. There's other registries on the call. And, of course, like I said, Patrick's on the call. And he works with, he's a registrar, so he does these things. And we will, I'll be glad for anybody to jump in wherever necessary, and certainly jump in to ask a question if there's something that's not clear. You just need a little bit more explanation. Okay. First of all, since I put out the first version, there have been several people that have reviewed this, so it's in a little better state than it was the first time around, the first note there. And then notice that in the existing .name agreement, the latest amendments to that that will come out of the approved registry service have not been added to that agreement. So if you go to the ICANN site and look up the GNR registry agreement for .name, it won't have their latest changes, but I have pasted them information about those in this document that we'll get to later. Now, to try and make it easier to follow things throughout this, I did color code it, and so GTLDs that include reserve names in certain categories are shown in blue. If there are exceptions, they're in green, and red if they don't include that requirement in their agreement.
And is there a color like legend to this? If we're looking at it later, we remember what each color means.
Well, only what I put at the top early at the document here on page one. In color.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't realize that was the legend part. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't label it as a legend, but yeah. And then the latest changes I made since version 1 are in orange, and I did that so that those that had already reviewed the document would make it real easy for them to see what we adjusted in the second version. Okay. The first requirement,
Chuck?
Yes.
Could someone send that to me at tim@tmdenton.com?
Okay, you didn't get that, huh, Tim?
I don't see it.
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you, somebody, whoever.
Okay. I'm going to not be very fancy in terms of what I'm sending, but it'll be coming to you in just a moment as I pull it up here. There we go. It's
Tim, do you still
on its
use,
way.
Do you still use magma.ca?
No, I'm Tim at tmdenton.com.
Okay. I just sent it. So
thank you all.
So it's on its way. Okay. So back to the comparison document. Then the first requirement, requirement A, labels reserved at all levels. You can read it yourself. They're what it is, and the first subcategory there is ICANN-related names. That is included in all 16 agreements. So the ASO, GNSO, ICANN, InterNIC, and CCNSO are all reserved in all agreements. The only exceptions being that in the in several original agreements that have not since been renegotiated, that some of them are being renegotiated now, and that they had DNSO instead of GNSO, and they had PSO instead of CCNSO. So those will be updated when the new agreements are negotiated. And so it's .iero, co-op, museum, name, and pro. Their agreements still have DNSO and PSO. I don't think that's not really a material issue for us, but I wanted you to at least be aware that if you look at those agreements, that's what it'll say. Any questions? Okay, and then comes in the same category, IANA-related names, and those are the same in all 16 agreements. Any questions or comments on those? Okay. And then category B there is additional second-level reservations. And the first category there is all single-character labels, and that requirement is included in all 16 agreements. And then the second subcategory there is all two-character labels shall be initially reserved. That's in 15 agreements. And I note there that the .name agreement, an amendment has been approved by the board. A motion's been approved by the board to negotiate an amendment to their agreement with regard to two-character labels. So, again, if you look that agreement up, you won't see the latest of the changes that will be coming shortly. Yes, Marilyn.
It's Marilyn. Can I just make a clarification? Because this will be reflected in the transcript, which will be read by many other people. As I understood this, the reservation will apply, but they will have a unique exception that is specific to unique treatment of two-letter names at the second level. And that might be Patrick, something that Patrick could help us with when we could put that descriptor, the appropriate descriptor, in as a footnote on your excellent chart.
Yeah, and I don't know how excellent the chart is, but hopefully at least we can follow it. I'll be glad to let Patrick jump in on this, and I appreciate him helping us out in this area and participating in our group. Just for people's information that may not be familiar with this, there are huge numbers of two-character names. China alone has millions of two-character names, and so what GNR did was to propose a service whereby they could use two-letter, two-character labels at the second level with .name at the top level, and then allow people to register names with using their family name. So that's kind of a general thing. Patrick, would you like to add anything there?
Just to clarify, all two-character names within .name are going to be shared, and they will not be available for individual registration.
Very good. Yeah, that's enough.
So it'll be shared at the registry level.
Yeah.
And Chuck, this is Mike. What I'd like to do is, as I said, I talked last week about A2, which is a two-character name, which .coop, in conjunction with ICANN, has, if you will, allocated. That is not the only two-letter name. One of the other operational names is actually a CCTLD. If you go and look at UK.coop, you will see a search engine portal that has been set up by the UK cooperative community to provide a directory assistance. So, again, those names were initially reserved per the terms of the contract. However, the registry operator working with ICANN in a proactive, collaborative method allowed those two-character names to be allocated and used by registrants in an appropriate manner. So Again, I think that is important to look at, that the word initial reservation does not equate to prohibition.
Right.
That's along those lines. I was going to suggest that we have something in here that, you know, calls out the fact that there's, of course, have been released in .com and .net. Two-character strings have also been released in .com.
Of course, those were legacy issues, too.
I think this would be helpful to at least have a footnote in this document, which will be used as a resource for people that, contracts don't reflect reality.
Yeah, it's something to consider that those two-character.com names are all out there in use. And probably, something we want to consider as we look at this whole issue.
That's very good. Tim, could I get you between now and the next meeting to revise this document? I assume you have it by now. Nothing needs to be done right now, but in the next week or so to include comments about what Mike just referred to, and also the fact that there are some legacy names in .com and .net. I don't know whether there are any in .org. There could be, because it was in the same time frame.
Chuck, this is Patrick. I want to direct the working group's attention to a letter that is in the GNR materials to Lyman Chapin, chair of the RCEP, from October 20th of 2006. It has some useful background information on all of the two-character names that were existing in the GCW.
I'm sorry, you were talking to me, and I picked up the phone the wrong way. I will promise not to do it again.
And Chuck, can I get in the queue to...
Sure. Let's let Patrick finish, and then you can, Marilyn.
Yeah, there's a table in the letter that lists all of the GTLDs with a breakdown of the two-character names that have been either registered or not registered, or they're undetermined. And that might be useful to give a breakdown of sort of the legacy registrations of two-character names.
So it might actually be good to just cut and paste that table in this document.
Sure.
In this category. Okay. Good. And Tim, I'll let you use your best judgment in terms of the best way to incorporate that.
And I'm wondering also, I guess along those lines, if you
I think
also,
if you don't,
hold
you're right. I apologize, Marilyn. Go ahead.
Marilyn, go ahead.
I just want to, is that okay with you, Chuck, that you want to, you'll operate a queue on particular topics so we can?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I want to go back up to item number one under B1, and I'm not looking at the chart, but I think this would be an appropriate addition, and I would prefer to see these things done in charts where possible. But as you say, it's up to Tim to find the most effective way of presenting it. Single character labels is actually a category that has under it single letters and numbers and symbols. And the treatment of numbers, symbols, and letters, at least from the technical questions related to it, varies. So one thing I'd like to see is the breakout as a subcategory, the three kinds of single character labels, so that as we go through our discussion, we can talk about how feasible it is to treat one of them, while it may not be feasible to deal with another.
Okay. Now, that's fine. One comment there. With regard to symbols, though, the DNS only allows one symbol, the hyphen.
I know. That's why they're on reserve. I'm just saying that for the non-technical reader, the fact that the DNS can't handle the other symbols will just need to be a footnote.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why we're not addressing it.
That's fine.
Patrick. Can I get in the queue?
Sure, Patrick.
I'm muted.
Yeah, who else wanted in the queue?
Mike.
Okay.
Mike R. and Mike P.
It was Mike R., right.
Yeah, and then Mike P. once again in as well.
Okay, got both of you down. Let's let Patrick jump back in here, and then we'll go to Mike R.
on single letter names, it might be useful for us as ICANN staff to run the same sort of search that we did for two character names that are existing in GTLDs on single character names. I know just from my own quick search there are a number of single character IDN variations that are already registered in some of the GTLDs. So it might be useful to put that in a table format that's similar to the one that we prepared for two character names.
Good, good suggestion. You got that, Tim? Okay. Okay, Mike Rodenbaugh.
Definitely a good suggestion to include IDNs because I have noticed single character registrations as well. I also think this this document, which is extremely helpful, it's only the GTLDs and the STLDs, and I'm thinking that the CCTLD experience is also equally as relevant as far as the experience they've had releasing single and double character names, you know, without any technical difficulties.
Good. Mike, please.
I'll make it quick. Patrick succinctly and accurately stated my insight on single letter IDN. So that's it.
Okay. Good. All right. Now, I note there then that the amendments have been approved, or at least I probably worded that incorrectly. Really, the board has approved a motion, I think, for staff to negotiate the amendments with .name, but basically they're. The registry service that they proposed has been approved by the board, and then I provide some information provided by Patrick, this is from their proposed registry service before it was approved. For those of you that just to help you understand their. Use of them, and notice at the end there's a couple examples. Yin at li.name and vin.wu.name. Just to give you an idea, and like Patrick said, it's not as if the two character reservations are being used except by the registry, and so multiple first names, for example, could be registered with Lee, with the last name of Lee, and so forth. Did I say that correctly, Patrick?
Yes, that's correct.
Thanks. Okay. Now, one of the reasons, Marilyn, why charts and tables are kind of difficult in this is because there's so many different variations that occur. In this particular requirement, then, there's a paragraph that reads, the reservation of a two-character label string shall be released to the extent that the registry operator reaches agreement with the government, country code manager, or ISO 3166 maintenance agency, whichever appropriate. The registry operator may also propose release of these reservations based on its implementation of measures to avoid confusion with the corresponding country codes. That paragraph is included in 14 agreements. Okay? It's not included in the BIS and ORG agreements. Okay?
Is that the old agreement or the current agreement?
That's current.
In the current?
Yeah. What I did, and please feel free to check me on any of these things. It was quite a task trying to compare all these things. I literally took one agreement. I happened to use the .asia agreement, one of the newest, and did a compare.
Okay.
With the appendix or attachment, depending on what the case was, that had the list of reserve names. Okay?
Got it.
But feel free to correct me if you find that there's any errors here. I think, and Patrick did a check for me, too, which was very much appreciated. Any questions on the two character names? And again, notice that character, like Marilyn pointed out, really means, it can mean a... it can be alphanumeric, so it can be either a number or a letter.
Hey, this is Tim. I have a question.
Sure, Tim. Go ahead.
With the you said it was the org and biz agreements that didn't include the new that one paragraph about getting approval of strict code of the country or the ISO.
Right.
Okay. Do you take that as meaning then that that those are reserved and there's no exception in their case.
Well, in a sense I do, and this is just me talking, okay? In a sense I would take it that way, although I wasn't involved in negotiations or anything there, of course. But keep in mind that they could, like GNR has done, come back with a registry service proposal that could, you know, make an exception. So I don't want to imply that, you know, it's locked in concrete, but yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it?
Chuck, yeah, this is Mike.
Okay, Mike Blaise. And who else was?
I don't want to jump in front of anybody in the queue.
Did I hear somebody else trying to speak? Okay, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just looking at the biz registry contract, 3.1, little d, little I, big A. And what they do is it's hard-coded there that the registry operator shall reserve, not register, any TLD strings appearing on, and they list the, if you will, the IANA, the TLDs that currently appear in the zone.
Yeah, we're going to actually get to that in this document because that was one of the things that was missing in the first version that I did because the I was just looking at the appendices and there is language that's relevant in the agreements themselves, the main body of the agreements. And so a little bit further down, we'll come to that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is it seems like it's not like based upon it not appearing in the appendices of biz and org that they have the flexibility that I think Tim was concerned about because it appears to be hard-coded in, not in the appendix, but actually in the main body of the agreement.
Yeah, and personally, I don't think that the fact that it's not included there is super significant for what we're doing, but mm-hmm. I want to make sure we all know exactly what's there, okay? As we proceed with our work. This particular variance, I don't think is, and that's why I pointed out that even though the paragraph's not in their agreements, they could still present a registry service, but if it went through the funnel process, could be approved, and there could be exceptions made as well. Okay, sorry about that. Ringing, I'll just have to let it ring. Tag chains is the next category. And it's probably worth it. This is going to be one of the easier for us to deal with. Let me explain this for those who may not understand, because the whole area of internationalized domain names gets fairly complex. Under the current protocol, the PUNI code protocol that is used for IDN names in the DNS right now, every one of them is preceded by XN dash dash. Okay? Previous to that four character prefix was BQ dash dash before the standard was finalized. They changed the prefix after that. Now, what happened then fairly early in the process, and I was actually involved in this. We had people, once they knew that there was going to be a prefix that looked like this, there were people that were registering ASCII names that started with BQ dash dash and then other characters to get a jump on everything. And so that is why all labels with hyphens in the third and fourth character position are reserved. Keep in mind, and hopefully this won't happen very frequently because it has significant implications for registries and registrars, but there could be a time in the future when the protocol changes enough that they might have to change the prefix. And so that's why all of these are reserved. Notice that they're in all 16 agreements. When this first started happening, it was not in the ComNet and Org agreement, and of course we had to deal with that and block them even before it was decided to put this requirement in later versions of the agreement, so that there wouldn't be interference there. Any questions on that? Keep in mind, for those of you that aren't familiar with IDNs, that in the DNS, all you see is ASCII. There are no simplified Chinese characters or whatever. It's all ASCII, and that's why you have to use ASCII characters to represent characters that are non-ASCII. Okay, going on then to second-level reservations for registry operations. All 16 agreements have that first sentence, the following names are reserved for use in connection with the operation of the registry for the registry TLD. And if you jump ahead just a little bit there, it's Nick, who is, and dub, 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 okay? All 16 of them have that first sentence, and then 14 agreements have the next sentence, registry operator shall use them, but upon conclusion, the registry operator designation as operator of the registry for the registry TLD, they shall be transferred as specified by ICANN. And FIS and ORIC don't have that particular sentence, just to keep the record straight. But all 16 do have Nick, who is, and dub, dub, dub. Any questions on that? Again, I don't think we need to worry too much. Somebody can correct me if you think I'm wrong about the fact that Biz and Org don't have those. I don't think that has to have great impact in terms of our deliberations in this working group. But it's important that you're aware of exactly what's in the agreements to start with. E, then, is excuse me, geographic and geopolitical names. This one is definitely not in all agreements. And this is one that will undoubtedly be involve more controversy in our work. We don't need to talk about that right now, but most of you can probably figure that out for yourself. And this is one that the GAC is looking at, of course, and hopefully in São Paulo will get, excuse me, Lisbon will get some direction from the GAC in that regard. So the first paragraph there, And does anybody not have it in front of you? Do I need to read it? Okay, then I'm going to assume you do. So I'm not going to read that first paragraph. But notice that paragraph is only in, it's included as is for .asia. Okay? It's also included for CAT, jobs, MOBI, TEL, and travel, but the phrase, as may be directed by ICANN or the GAC, is not in the paragraph. And
Chuck,
then,
I have a quick question. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
How come .eu is not in this document?
.eu is not a GTLD. .eu, and it's this interesting history as to how this...
Well, .mobi is same, right? I mean...
No, okay, good questions. Let me... It's very important we understand some abbreviations that are used, okay? GTLDs, generic top-level domains, include two categories of domain names, unsponsored GTLDs and sponsored GTLDs.
Okay.
.mobi is in the category of a sponsored GTLD. Now, some people group GTLDs, they group non-CCLDs in two categories. They refer to the unsponsored as GTLDs and the sponsored as sponsored. That's not technically correct, at least in the official way that it's used. There are two categories of GTLDs. .mobi is a GTLD, okay? It happens to be a sponsored one. .com is a GTLD. It happens to be an unsponsored GTLD. Does that make sense? Now, let me go to the .eu issue, and it is through a variety of steps considered to be a CCTLD, as I understand it, and there was even some exception made in the ISO codes. I don't know if it's in a supplement or what. I'm not that up to speed on that. Others may be able to help us on that. So it is not in the category of a GTLD. Anybody want to add anything to that?
I do. I just want to. It's Marilyn.
Go ahead.
There is a historical discussion about this, Chuck. That Glenn might even be able to find the transcript. Glenn, you know, we remember that Bruce actually provided a very succinct description of this, and I believe it was in the Amsterdam meeting. I don't know that we need to go back to it, Chuck, but if you feel that we do, there was a good, clear, crisp explanation of this provided by Bruce Tonkin.
Yeah. And it is it's really good you asked the question, because it's really important that we understand that our task really has to do with GTLDs, which doesn't include .eu. It includes the 16 for which there are agreements have been negotiated, and any future ones that would come into being. As far as, and I don't mean to imply that we're going to change agreements. Please don't read it that way. But our task in the GNSO is to focus on GTLDs. Now, as you're all aware, we're involving the CCTLD because some of our work obviously relates to CCTLD issues, as several people have pointed out, and of course, especially with regard to two-character reservations. So if anybody wants to see that information that Marilyn just referred to, just speak up and we'll ask that somebody forward it around. The important thing for our work is that .eu is not in the category of a GTLD.
I appreciate that. I'd love to see that document that clearly and crisply defines why .asia and .eu are somehow categorized differently.
.eu, I mean, they could have waited for a new GTL process that ICANN opened and approached it that way, like the .asia folks did. It so happens that they didn't, that they worked at a different angle.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. Notice that the geographic and geopolitical names reservation requirement is not in Aero, Biz, Com, Co-op, Info, Museum, Name, Net, Org, or Pro. Interestingly enough, there was a I don't know if it was listed in their agreement, but Info, when they first came out, did agree to restrict some geographic names and so forth, but that this clause is not in their latest agreement.
Chuck, this is Mike, to give you a little historical background, I actually disclosed that. It was the Board Resolution 0192 in Montevideo where the GAC and the ICANN board worked together to, if you will, create a list. And it was, in fact, that list that many of the most recent STLDs use that as a template for reserving their geopolitical names.
Thanks, Mike. Any questions? Now, the next paragraph, which is a fairly lengthy one there, the in addition paragraph, again, is included for .asia. It's included for CAT, Jobs, Mobi, Tel, and Travel but the geographic locations in those agreements is replaced by economies. And again, I personally don't think that we need to read too much into that, but it's important to be aware of the variances there. Again, that paragraph is not included in those other TLDs that are named again. Now, then in orange is where I come back to what Mike Pelez referred to just a little bit ago. Within the registry agreements listed below, and if you want to jump ahead to those, that's Asia, Biz, CAT, Com, Info, Jobs, Mobi, Net, Org, and Tel, and Travel. The language in the agreement actually says, and this is in the main body of the agreement, not the appendix or attachment, stating that register operator shall reserve and not register any TLD strings appearing on the list of reserved TLD strings attached as Appendix 6 here too. Some of the older agreements, it's not Appendix 6, okay? Or located at, and then it lists an IANA address, and the listing shown at the URL is provided at the end of this document. The .tel agreement refers to two URLs. The first one is the same as the others, as far as I could determine. Correct me wrong if I'm wrong on that, Patrick. And the second one just lists all the country codes. Now, if you want to scroll down, it's probably not a bad idea, to the very end of the document and then scroll up a little bit. You'll see a very long list in orange. Okay, it's got the IANA URL there. And as far as I can determine from looking at this list, it's just a list of all current TLDs. And when I use the term TLDs, I include CCTLDs and GTLDs. So if you look through there, it includes all of the TLDs there. And you can see the GTLDs in there as well as the CCTLDs on that list. Why in the one agreement it refers to two URLs there, one of which seems to be a subset of the other, I'm not sure. Now, does anybody have any comments on that or understanding that I don't have?
Chuck, this is Patrick.
Patrick?
The list that you put in the version 2 is a list of all the TLDs that are in the zone.
Oh, okay. So the list that I copied is all the ones in the zone, and the other list includes some that are not in the zone. Is that correct? That may not be in the zone.
It may be CCTLDs that have not been delegated.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and of course they wouldn't be in the zone. So, okay, that's helpful. That gives some clarification to me because I was trying to figure out why that was done. Okay, any questions on that? Now, then we come to names reserved. Yes?
Okay, yeah, I do have a question because it may be significant, but just wanted to be clear.
Sure.
Not delegated and not in the zone are two different things, right? Aren't there?
I was a little sloppy there in my language. It's likely that if it's not delegated, it probably isn't in the zone, but it's not exactly the same thing. Thanks. Appreciate that, Tim.
Okay, and then one other question, if we can back
up. Go ahead.
You don't think there's anything significant as far as the difference between geographic location and economies that we need to be concerned with or maybe ask about what was intended?
Yeah.
Chuck, you want me to try to
apply
that?
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it, Mike.
I think if you, and it's too bad Suzanne isn't here, this distinct economies has generally been used to include the European Union. Now, if you look at the affiliates list from Board Resolution 0192, we did include European Union, other variations and translations of that term. But I think the inclusion of the term economies was meant to be inclusive of the European Union if someone was to take a very narrow interpretation of geographic location.
Mike?
Yes.
Just to add on to that, there's actually another issue about economies. There are some physical land spaces that may not have a designation as a country in the UN system, Tim. But they do they are recognized as a distinct economy.
Okay. And Tim, what I was getting at when I thought that particular variation I didn't consider to be too significant for what we're doing, there's a lot bigger problem with regard to this issue than the words used, and I'm sure, you know, dealing with what is the best way to do it, economies or geographic locations, in my mind is probably a much easier task than whether or not there would be consensus to recommend that geographic names be reserved and geopolitical names be reserved. And just that includes city names. And as many of you know, there are cities that are looking to get a TLD, thought Berlin being the most well-known because of the significant work that group has done preparing for the possibility of getting a TLD. So, and whether or not those should be reserved, there are countries, of course, that have very strong feelings about that. That's going to be the tougher part of our job, to come up with some understanding there and possible recommendations in regard to this category. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, Chuck, it's Liz here. I just want to add a couple of extra things on that stuff, too.
Good, Liz. Go ahead.
A couple of things for this group to be aware of. The first of all is the Public Policy Principles draft, which was released by the GAC in time for the Sao Paulo meeting. I had a meeting with Bill D last week here in Brussels to discuss the next version of the GAC Public Policy Principles, and I'd urge you to look at that. I can send it to you by email, but it's also on the GAC website. And just with respect to the geopolitical terms and distinct economies, just so that this group is aware, and some of these the people have not been involved in the new TLD's discussion, the broader context of geopolitical terms and city names and linguistic and cultural names, it's pretty clear that we will probably receive applications from dot Berlin, as Chuck has pointed out, dot LAC, L-A-C, dot C-Y-M for Wales, for Galicia, and for other linguistic and cultural groups that may well have a geopolitical reference to them, but may also be linguistic and cultural terms that would be of interest in this reserve names discussion. All of that information is open and publicly available. There's also a discussion about a .nyc that has been going on, and none of that is secret, and I have been very, very clear with potential applicants that have come to speak to us, and me and Olaf particularly have been taking those queries, that all of that information they provide to us is public, because there is no special treatment. So just for this group to be aware that this is a very live issue, the geopolitical terms issue is very live, and it's very meaningful for many potential applicants for new TLDs.
Thanks, Liz, and I think it would be good if you sent that to the list.
You mean the GAC principles or the list of those potential
applicants?
Well, the
GAC principles, I think, are still being worked, right?
Yes, and my conversation with Bill last week indicated to me that it's pretty much 90% sure that the GAC will be able to sign off on those public policy principles in fairly unaltered form, but Bill and his Norwegian co-drafting colleague are getting together to discuss further potential amendments after discussions with the GAC. About the final version of the new TLD's public
policy principles. Now, is the version that's available right now, though?
It's a pretty good version. Bill's pretty happy with it.
He's pretty happy with it.
Yep.
I guess it'd be okay to send that. Just qualify it by the fact
I'll do that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Do you want the list of potential applicants so that people have the context for what's going on?
Could we, Liz, it's Marilyn, could I ask we not do that? Because we're trying to set a rule, right? We don't want to get into the debate of any particular decision.
Yeah,
oh, indeed.
I don't think we need those. The reason I brought up one is just for the sake that, and I think it's also helpful just to illustrate the activity and the interest in this particular category, to for Liz to mention that there are quite a few others. But yeah, I don't think the list needs to be sent there. It's not our that has nothing to do with our task as a group. It just that I think it is a good illustration that this is a very important area that. Where there's lots of interest.
Cool.
Chuck,
I'll send that out in the morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chuck, I mean, I think it would be helpful. Again, I'd like to see the list, Liz, if you could send it to me, because I think it is important, although we don't want to get into a detailed discussion, it is important to understand that how our actions in this group may have other unintended consequences or ripple effects in other areas of policy development.
Yeah, and rather than sending it to the list, if anybody wants that like Mike does, just send an email to Liz requesting that you have that.
Sure, no problem.
Okay.
Thanks, Chuck.
You're welcome. Thank you. That's excellent. Okay. Now, back to names reserved at the third level. This is the first paragraph there is included only in the .pro agreement. All three character labels shall be initially reserved by the registry operator. Okay, and so on. You can read it there. Then it's not included in any of the others. And of course, at this point in time, that's a pretty old agreement. And for those of you that may not know, the .pro is a fair, it's in the category of an unsponsored domain name, but it's, I think, without a doubt, the most restricted unsponsored GTLD and with a special business model, okay? So you can, if you're interested, you can follow up on that and see how that fits into their business model. I don't think it's a good use of time to spend, talk about that here. It does illustrate, though, that there are just so many possibilities with regard to GTLDs and business models associated with theirs that it may not make a lot of sense to try and come up with things that are one size fits all unless it's really clear that there are real clear reasons for doing that. Other names reserved at the second level, then Aero Co-op, Museum, Name, and Pro have the following. Notice that it involves some of the other GTLDs that were in existence when they did their agreement. It also includes Ant and Mill and Gov and EDU that are really, they're certainly in the root, but they, and I guess for all practical, for our definition of GTLDs, they'd be considered GTLDs, although they're not in the ICANN world in the sense of policy development. ARPA is another one in that category. Okay. .biz, reserve, there's a list there for .biz. Now that one, notice there's some names that stay with the registry in the event the registry was ever reassigned and that .biz was reassigned to somebody else. A lot of them are special names there. They've even got, you know, you could see cctld.biz is one. it's a list of 108 names. I'll let you, you can look at that on your own. And then there are names for them that would stay with New Star, in the event of reassignment. And you can see those there. There are just six of them, and they relate to New Level and Melbourne IT.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. Can I get in the queue to ask a question about that?
Sure. And by the way, if there's not multiple people trying to talk at the same time, I'm pretty comfortable with somebody jumping in to add something as long as it's done cautiously so that you're not interrupting someone. So feel free, Marilyn.
Okay. Could we just, I'm not expressing an opinion one way or the other. I'm just asking this as a question, and it may be something to come back to. It looks like some registries are reserving names that may have commercial purposes, or made, and it's not clear to me how the decision is made that a registry can identify names that have commercial purposes and reserve them. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just asking, but I think in our terms of reference, there is actually a reference to the process by which the names are new categories are identified to be put into reserve status. Do you have an awareness of why these particular folks were allowed to have this set of what in some cases look like commercial names? And then secondly, if you don't, could we maybe ask Tim or Patrick to see if that information is available just as an information point to us?
I'm sure we can ask. I do not, Marilyn. I can tell you, and I can obviously speak more about .com and .net. In our case, and I think this went away in the latest agreement, but we had we were allowed to register certain names that we were going to, you know, that were names associated with our business. They weren't for commercial reasons in our case. I don't think any of them were for commercial reasons in our case. I don't even think they look commercial. Like, for example, DCNR.com, Verifying ComNet Registry.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Things like that.
Yeah.
But that was done through a different process, not through the reservation process. We were actually allowed to register those, and we had to report on those.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. So ours was a little different case, but I can't speak to this. This is the kind of thing that as we drill down on these things, if we need to request someone, for example, from Newstar, to see if they can shed some light there, if we think at some point in time that that'll be useful to us, that would be fine.
The reason I mention it is we're going to be talking about what I'm just going to loosely call the concept of rules. They might or might not be policies. I'm not making a comment on what they would be. But it's better to be informed before you make recommendations.
And what I would suggest there, Marilyn, that when we get to the point where that becomes specifically relevant, that we deal with it at that point in time. Is that okay?
That sounds fine.
Okay. And what I'm trying to do for the group is not to overwhelm us with too much until we have a specific need. I think it'll be a lot easier for us to stay in focus that way.
And Chuck, this is Mike. To provide insight, co-op, as I discussed in my statement, actually has a list of what they call community names. They had a much larger list of reserve names, which they allocated about 2 years ago, but they still do retain a number of names such as consumer.coop, health.coop, in which they potentially look to use them to benefit the interest of the cooperative community. So, Marilyn requested how this came about. Most of the registries actually disclose this in their applications, whether that be what Co-op did or the premium name process, which Mobi did. These were part of the application process. And I think it, I think it's important, unless we want to get into a regulator role of one size fits all, to allow individual companies to put forth different ideas of how they would like to, run their registries.
Thanks, Mike. And
I have a question as well. Sorry.
Go ahead.
With affiliates especially, and this is incredible, this list of all the affiliates typo squat domain names that are reserved by the registry. Mike Palais, perhaps, I don't know if you were involved in those negotiations or could give us a little background on how exactly that happened.
Is that Mike speaking?
Yes.
That's Mike R.
Thanks, Mike. I'm pretty good at recognizing most of you. I'm sure I'll make some mistakes, too. But for the transcribing, if you would identify yourself, and even for the recording, it would be helpful because sometimes they just have to put a man speaking or a woman speaking. If you look at the transcripts, you'll see that. So if you would, and I'll often try to just, when you talk, mention your name and my response so that they can pick it up that way. But if you would try and do that, it'd probably be helpful.
My apologies. I will.
Oh, no, that's okay. I hadn't instructed you that way.
Put it this way, Mike, that was about 7 years ago. I believe it was just I don't believe I was involved in that, could have been, but I at the time I remember them, ICANN, as part of the contractual negotiations, said that there were two different classes of names, as Chuck has illustrated here, and in connection with the names, in Part B, they were looking at a bunch of, if you will, typo squat variations.
Yep. I just find it absolutely compelling that a registry deserves a list of 100 typo squat domains for itself. But anyway, that's for another time, I'm sure.
Yeah. And again, I didn't have any involvement in that. So again, notice that affiliates has two categories of lists. Those that transferred with the registry database and those that stay with affiliates. And their list in the Part B category that stay with affiliates is considerably longer than Newstar's. And in fact, it's 115 names. But obviously, they're all .info names. So, and that was, they negotiated that. I don't have any insight into that. Going on then to .name, which is the next thing, and again, you can all read this. It's and I'll let you do that. But this is language that is helpful, I think, in understanding the latest registry service that was approved by the board for .name. And again, I'm not going to read through that because it's quite lengthy. You can see there are community reservations, registry common name reservations, in that postfix reservations, and so on. And then last of all, then, is the what I already referred to was that the list of names that are in the root, which is the IANA URL there, and Patrick pointed out that those are the ones in the root. And I think we've made it through the whole document. Any questions? That's what exists today, okay? And I think that's a good starting point for us. And we'll need to go back to some of these.
I do have one question. Just back to the CCTLD issue. Obviously, quite a bit of work went into just creating this document for the GTLDs. Is there going to be an effort to compile the CCTLD information as well? And perhaps not, certainly not as comprehensively as this with contract provisions and all, but you know, basically category level in these CCTLDs, single letters or double letters are reserved, that sort of thing.
Well, Mike, the I'm not sure that's even possible. Somebody can correct me if you think it is. In contrast to the GTLD world, where all of the GTLD registries have agreements with ICANN spell out some of this stuff.
Oh, right.
That is not the case in the CCTLD world. Even those who have agreements, even the more comprehensive agreements that were first negotiated by some of the CCTLDs like .au and so forth, I don't believe get into this level of detail. And so barring going to the CCTLDs themselves and finding out their policies or if they happen to post those on their websites or something like that, it would be quite an intensive effort. We certainly need, I think, to consult with CCTLDs and some of the issues we're dealing with. I think if we try to do too much in detail with regard to the CCTLDs, we're going to get off target and probably never complete what we need to in the short time frame we have.
So I appreciate that. I wasn't suggesting that we do any sort of exhaustive contractual analysis, more of a practical just sort of understanding of what is actually happening in the CCTLDs. I think it's really most relevant to where we come down to the issues of whether there's any impact on security and stability. Perhaps you could just do a brief survey at that time.
Yeah, and we could also use them as experts or even just simple little requests for information to share with us their experiences in some of these areas, whether they've had any reservations in some of these categories, whether they have not and whether it's caused any problems, things like that. So they certainly could be a good resource for information.
Chuck, this is Patrick.
Go ahead, Patrick.
During the RSTEP review of the DNR proposal, IANA did a search for all across all CCTL, well, actually across the whole zone, where a two-character registration appeared in any CCTLD. And we found that 75, I think it was 72% of the TLDs that are in the zone have at least one two-character reservation.
But they're not alphabetical, are they?
Yeah, actually, I could provide to the working group the same report that was run.
This is Tim. I'd like to get in the queue.
And Liz, too, please, Chuck.
Okay. Were you finished, Patrick?
Yes.
Thank you. And I'm guessing that people probably would like you to send that to the list. So.
And it's referenced in the RSTEP report.
Yeah. And, again, the RSTEP report, for those who haven't looked at it, is quite lengthy. So to the extent that you can provide it with a link to the part that you're talking about, I think the RSTEP report's a very good one to read because it was so well done, in my opinion. I know that we're all busy. And so whenever we can kind of narrow things down to relevant portions of documents, I think that'll be helpful. Everyone is always welcome to read the full documents, and I encourage you to do so if you have the time. But I want us to be practical in the sense of...
You can have 40 people.
Okay, so for this afternoon.
Okay. Somebody's talking in the background.
That's Maryland, I think.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. Now, let's see. We had... I forgot to write down. I got busy talking. After Patrick, was it Mike and Tim? Mike Clegg?
No.
Who was it?
Tim and Liz, I believe.
Tim and Liz, that's right. Thank you. I'm now writing, so I should have done that sooner. Okay, Tim.
I just thought, too, that the other... any experience that any of the CCTLDs had with allocation of, you know, one or two letter names might be valuable. I don't know if anyone has done anything other than just open them up for registration, but I imagine so. And then I wonder if we couldn't use the CCNSO as a potential resource or make a request through them for experiences or comments from any of the CCTLDs in that.
Yeah, I think we will, and in fact, hopefully, before very long, the CCNSO will actually have an observer on this group, and that person then could be an interface for us. Okay, Liz.
Yeah, Chuck. Thank you. Just to go straight to Tim's question about the CCTLD's experiences. When I was on the board of ALDA, and then subsequent to that, we released geopolitical terms, which was place and city names. And there's a lot of information on the ALDA website about how that process was actually done, because in the beginning of the .au registrations, you weren't allowed to register place names. So that's of interest to the section which is further up. Chuck, I just wanted to clarify a couple of things with you. One is the reservations list, and I just wanted to clarify here that for the purposes of this work, the new TLD recommendations that you might consider relate to contractual conditions for potential new registries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the limitations on successful applicants for a new TLD would be expecting to have these kinds of ongoing reservations of names. That's the first part of it. The second part is just a clarification from my side that the work of the group is going to touch upon providing guidance to potential applicants about things that they ought not apply for.
Right.
So when we're thinking about this, and I said this at the very beginning of the call, there's two tracks of information here. The one is the contractor conditions that that a successful applicant for a new TLD string might have and be bound by potential contractual conditions on the registration of names in their registry after they're operational. But in addition to that, there's the discussion that we would have about appropriate strings that applicants could apply for during an application process. And I think that more information is needed about restrictions at the top level about strings, not just about the registration of names at the second and third level, as you've identified here. And I'm just reading section D1 about community reservations, and then about geopolitical terms, and then about African names, and about Arabic names.
Right.
And that, of course, gets us into much broader discussions about the IDN versions of things that people might wish to consider.
So, and I realize I did a very poor job of answering your question about the dual tracking at the beginning of our meeting.
No, you didn't need to. I'm just highlighting it because it's very, very important.
Yeah, but we're concerned with making recommendations with regard to any restrictions that there might be in top-level strings being proposed, and then also what contractual conditions with regard to reserve names might be required of new TLDs at the second level as well, or other levels if that's applicable. Thanks, Liz. That was a good clarification. Okay. Now, going on to the next item, which is item 6B in our agenda, relevant RFCs. Now, what I did is I did a quick, as hopefully you all saw, I did a quick review of the three RFCs that were mentioned and suggested particularly RFC 2606 as being the most relevant for our work. RFC 2141, section 2.3 and 2.4 kind of relate to what we're doing, but more with regard on a character emphasis, and then 3491 with IDN processing rules. Both of those relate into the sec. 2141 and 3491 certainly have some connections to what they're doing, but they're not nearly as helpful. And Liz pointed this out herself, that 2606 is really the most relevant for what we're doing. So if you haven't already done that, please look at 2606. You're welcome to look at the particular sections of the others. In fact, if you want, you can read the whole RFC. But there's not as much connection to what we're doing in the other two as there is in 2606. Any questions or comments or any discussion you'd like to have with regard to the RFCs? Okay. Now, Liz provided quite a few documents, and again, I tried to help narrow down where I think your focus would be best spent in these documents, because it's a large amount of material, and unless people oppose, I would like to use that kind of approach so that it makes all of our time most effective. And in fact, Tim and I talked about that earlier today, that he'll probably help us a lot in that regard. Ask him to do some summaries for us and make sure we point to particularly relevant sections and larger documents and so forth. So I tried to do that in these, and I sent that out to the list last week. So let's just go through these and see if there's any questions. Some of these aren't, are mainly just be aware of them. In particular, the latest version of the new TLDs committee, again, realizing that a new document is coming out maybe within a week or so.
No, next week, Chuck.
Okay, well, I was trying to give you a little leeway.
Thanks, Jeff. That's really sweet of you. Chuck, if you wouldn't mind, I would just like to add something extra on the Section B on the RFCs.
Okay.
The RFC 2606, which of course is the most relevant, much of what went into the RFCs does not include the historical and technical background to much of the reserved name discussion. And there are plenty of people who disagree with the history or disagree with the reasons or disagree with whatever. But I would draw your attention to a series of conversations that went on the registrar's list, and the registrar's list is open for anybody to read, about the technical and historical background about 2606 and the other RFCs about reserved names, because the RFCs only actually tell you about what is the common practice rather than what was left out and why it was left out. So there's a lot of information there, and if anyone wants to delve into that, I'm happy to give it to you. But just a cautionary note on the RFCs, they tell a very, very interesting historical picture, but only half of that, which goes into the normal practice, which was actually written down by the drafters of RFCs.
Thank you. Back to 6C and the 6CI, the PDP December 05, which is the introduction of new TLDs. Again, feel free to look at that, be aware of it. There's a new version coming out, sounds like next week. And in particular, the recommendations, at least in the existing versions right now, 2525 and paragraphs 19 to 24, relate most closely to what we're doing. The ICANN staff discussion points document, again, I highlighted some paragraphs. And please don't just rely on my sorting these out. Somebody else may find some others that are relevant that I missed. I'm perfectly comfortable with that. I encourage you to do that. But I was just trying to narrow the focus down so that you can do that and make it easier on you, because I know we all have full-time jobs besides this. Then the latest version of the February 06 draft task report is there.
And that's what's going to come out at the end of the week, Chuck, the end of next week. I'm hoping to have that updated draft ready at the end of next week.
Okay.
And the reason why there's a delay on the December 05 task force report is that there's going to be some internal planning sessions next week to talk about all of these things that you guys are providing us information on that have a direct bearing on number one, a policy for allocation methods, and number two, on contracting additions, and then number three, on the selection criteria for new strings. So all of this is extremely relevant and very timely.
Yeah. The February 06, in my own opinion, if some of you that aren't familiar with the everything that's going on, you're gonna probably find less directly relevant to what we're doing, but the fact that it's dealing with contractual conditions in itself, you know, has some relationship, because some of the things we could recommend would affect contractual conditions for new TLDs, and there's a possibility that there could be changes eventually in the existing TLDs as well. Not that we will make any policies in that regard, but we may recommendations that ultimately could be developed into policies. And then item four there, the GNR proposal for the release of two-letter names. We've talked about that a little bit. If you want to read the whole proposal, it's there. And then four, the full set of registry service applications. Again, feel free to go to those. The summary I did, and that Patrick helped me refine, and some of the registries helped me clarify some things, and Mike added some things today. Those are all at your disposal. Feel free. Hopefully the summary really saves you some time on that regard, but please don't feel like you need to just rely on the summary. Any questions or comments on the documents distributed by Liz?
Just one question about help. I think there's been two staff reports over the last couple of years on the issue of releasing reserved names. I'm not sure. I think one of them was a single and double characters.
Yeah, I think that certainly there was one on single characters, and that will become relevant when we get to that particular category.
Okay.
What I didn't want to do.
No, I understand.
And if people don't like this technique, let me know, okay? What I didn't want to do is just dump so much stuff on everybody that you're just inundated. Let's try and keep our focus, and when we get to particular things, for example, when we get to single-letter domains, then bring, you know, have those documents sent around for people to see. Liz could have provided us everything she had, and I didn't really want to do that at this point until particular things are relevant.
I respect and very much appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks,
my pleasure.
Mike. Thanks, Mike.
This is Tim Denton. Liz, can you send me what you sent to the group?
Yeah.
Thanks.
You and I'll talk tomorrow anyway.
Indeed.
I've sent you a note.
Right.
Good. Okay. Now. This next thing is really important for us because we need to map out at least where we're going in the next few weeks and how we're going to approach this. Now, I put some ideas down here in this agenda. Please understand right from the outset here that there may be a better approach, and I want you to tell me if you think you've got a better approach. Because I didn't see anything on the list of, suggesting anything different, I went ahead and took a stab at it. Now, in the outline of the statement of work for this working group, section four, and then item two. There, we have their task of defining the role of reserved names. It seems to me, and correct me if you disagree, okay, but it seems to me that one of the first things we need to do is accomplish that task, because that then becomes the basis for other work and possibly specific recommendations. And there were five sources of information there with regard to that: community discussions, ICANN staff reports, relevant technical documents, existing ICANN staff work and relevant experiences, and two-letter CCTLD names are some things there. Now, what I did in the next step here is I took from the summary, plus I added one category, some major categories of reserved names: ICANN and IANA related names, single and two-character labels, tag domain names, second-level reservations for registry operations, geographical and geopolitical names, names reserved at the third level, and other names reserved at the second level, which includes GTLD and CCTLD strings, registry-specific names, and any others, because there are some others that don't fit those two. And then last of all, I threw in their controversial names, which is not one that is in any of the current agreements. I don't believe there's anything in there that's in the controversial category, and by that, offensive names, religious names, et cetera, things like that. And that's something that's come up in the new GTLD PDP. So now, my first question, can anybody think of another category that we should add here? It doesn't need to be restricted to those. If you do, you know, communicate it, because there's nothing magical about what I have here. Obviously, what I did is I went to the summary document, got all the categories, and then I added controversial, which comes from the new GTLD PDP.
Or Chuck, perhaps, I mean, looking at how you call other reserved names, to me there's a distinction whether reserve names that need ICANN action versus those that don't need ICANN action. Because, as I have said, .coop in their contract reserved community names, they have the ability to hate them. They do not need, if you will, ICANN action. In areas where they've had to allocate two-letter names, they've worked with ICANN and have allocated appropriately. And I think that's important because Maryland was opining about how registries might, if you will, reserve names that have some commercial value. Those registries that have reserved those names and are using them generally do so without any ICANN action. So I think what we would might want to do in looking at this, if you will, the different buckets of reserve names are reserve names in which ICANN authority or approval is necessary versus approval where registry operators currently have the freedom to allocate those names at will, because I don't necessarily see a problem with that later category unless somebody else does.
Okay. Yeah, we're not going to talk about
Chuck,
whether we see a problem there or not. Just a second, Marilyn. You're next. Let me clarify something here. These categories, at least the way I intended them here, are strictly to help us map out our work.
Hmm.
We should not assume at this end point anything about those categories, whether there will be policy developed, whether they'll just be handled contractually, whether they should stay in contracts or be removed to contracts or added to contracts or anything like that. That's what our work ahead of us is supposed to accomplish. Marilyn.
It occurred to me in some of the other task forces and working groups, it's been very helpful to have some agreed-upon definitions, and listening to Mike's description occurred to me that, you know, reserve name to me means the name is on reserve and it takes some action to take it off. If there's, maybe we would want to have a footnote somewhere in our document about what the working definition of what reserve name is, because there may be a lot of members of the community who don't understand that, aren't familiar with that term.
Okay. So, Mike, did my comment make sense? Please don't assume that that these categories imply anything other than it's one category for us to look at and possibly make some recommendations with regard to.
No, as I said, I appreciate that, Chuck. And again, the reason for my initial comments was there have been instances, again, it's been .coop's experience, that there really is nothing broken. We've reserved names, we've allocated them when we've need to, we've held some in reserve. With regard to the ICANN designated, two-letter names, we've worked with ICANN, if you will, in a very proactive and positive experience to get those names allocated. So, again, we don't see necessarily anything broken, and that's just something we want on the record and to have part of this discussion.
Right, and our first priority isn't so much to change existing agreements either as it is to make sure we were able to provide some guidance with regard to the introduction of new TLDs. Now, there may be some ultimate flow down to existing agreements as well, but again, we're not coming to any conclusions right now. That's why we've got to map out where we're going next. Now,
Chuck, I just want to add Section 8, 7B8 on the controversial names section, just some quick information for the group who have not yet received the GAC GTLD's draft principles. to give you an idea of the controversiality, if there is such a word, section 2.1 of the GAC's existing draft says no new GTLD string shall promote hatred, racism, discrimination of any sort, criminal activity, or any abuse of specific religions or cultures. That's a fair bucket to deal with. And then down at 2.6, there's other important things in between 2.1 and 2.6, and the missing 2.5, but it says terms of national, cultural, or religious significance should only be considered for the codes of UGTLDs where there is a clear and legitimate candidate sponsor for such an application and subject to no major objections from the community concerned. It's very hard to capture that when you're listening to it, but if you get a general idea of the direction the GAC are heading in, the bucket of things that deal with controversial names and then with respect to UTLDs on selection criteria, string allocation, and contractor conditions for successful registry operators, there's a very, very tight correlation between what the GAC is saying on the one hand and what the existing policy recommendations that are in draft for the UTLD's work look like, and then the work of this particular group.
Okay. Thank you. Now, we've just got about 15 minutes, and some of us have to get on a council call, and it's really important we get to the next few steps here. Now, my suggestion, and again, this is open for discussion and change, is that we request volunteers in this meeting today to pick one or a couple of the categories that are there. Just excuse me one second. Okay. If we could have some volunteers and spread these out, two or three of them are pretty easy, so they could be lumped together and really not going to take much time. So I hope people just don't jump at those. But what I would be suggesting that each person do, or if you want to team up and do a couple people together, that's fine too. Keeping in mind that our ultimate goal with regard to these categories is to define the role of reserve names, in particular with regard to the category you might choose, but ultimately that will feed into our broader definition of role of reserve names. You would be responsible for reviewing any relevant documents and provide summaries for the full working group, and Liz and Tim could feed you documents with regard to that, and anybody else, you can get it from anywhere you want. You could do your own research. Possibly start identifying some experts in that area that we may want to consult with. I actually took a first crack at contacting some people based on names in the RFCs and people I knew and other topics that we've talked about today. To start that is not intended to be even close to complete, but just as an aid going forward, and I actually have responses from several of these people. Paul Makapatris is certainly willing to serve as an expert witness if we need him, the inventor of the DNS. Lyman Chapin, the chair of the RSTEP, has agreed to support us if we need his support. Gare and Holcomb from GNR certainly will with regard to the two-character domain names and their particular proposal. David Conrad still checking with ICANN Council whether he would be allowed to be an expert witness. But knowing David, I'm sure he would be helpful to us however he can. And, of course, we have Patrick on board with us, too, the GTLD registry liaison that can be of help there as well. We're fortunate to have Patrick as a part of our group, so that's very helpful. Now, I think, and because of our time frame, I'm going to not do this now. I had hoped to actually have some people suggest some other experts. What I'd like to do instead, because of time, is ask those of you who have suggestions for experts that you would submit them to our list, and that'll be helpful to those who volunteer. And then another task for volunteers then would be to start developing a list of questions for experts as appropriate. what are some of the questions in the particular category you pick that we may want to ask those experts? Now, we're not going to finish this by next week, but it would be helpful then if a brief written report was sent out to the list for our next meeting, sometime before the meeting, probably not very much in advance because of the time frame, and then a brief overview in the meeting next week. And we've only got a few minutes, anybody want to be first to pick a category?
Chuck, this is Tim. I'm not volunteering first, but I just have a question.
Don't you think he should volunteer first, group?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
Depends on the answer to the question. I guess, I'm not real clear on what the report needs to, the CI, I guess, is the biggest question. Reviewing relevant documents and providing summaries. I mean, is this basically expanding on what you've already done in the comparison document? Is that what we're talking about?
In which document, Tim?
The comparison document.
The comparison document only talks about contractual conditions. Now, obviously, the contractual conditions related to one of these conditions could be one source of information, but in many of these cases, there are lots of other sources, whether it be RFCs or community discussion or ICANN staff reports, like, for example, single letter domain names. There's some work that's been done on. And that would be a source that whoever picks that category would look at and give just a brief overview. So, find out what else is available to the extent that you can, and Tim will help in this as well, help each one that's volunteered. He and I talked about that a little bit earlier this morning. Liz, I think, will provide information, although we have to be careful not to get her too bogged down because she's really buried with both of the PDPs that we but she can work with Tim, too, to get some of that stuff. Again, I'm not looking for a lot, Tim, but to get us started in some of these categories, especially with regard to defining the role. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of a particular category? And it may be a little bit different from each person. That's okay. Now, any volunteers? Somebody have a special category? The first person that picks gets to pick one. Now, let's hold off on ICANN and IANA-related names and tag domain names and get volunteers for the others. Those two probably are really fairly straightforward.
I was going to volunteer for that one.
I figured. That's why I cut it off, Mike.
Volunteer before you cut it off.
I would pick number 7. That's raised some interest with me today, so I'm learning some things.
Who was that?
That was Mike Rodenbaugh, wasn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
And just for my notes, I'm not looking at the document. What's category 7?
Other.
Other names reserved at the second level, GTLD and CCTLD strings, registry-specific names, other. The one that you commented on with regard to some of the commercial things. Okay, we've just got a couple minutes here. Of course, as chair, I suppose I could assign them.
If you want, Chuck, I'll join Mike on. I'll work with Mike on that.
Well, before we pair up, let's see if we can make sure we get our categories covered.
If you then I'll do the. If you want the geographic and geopolitical, considering that I've been working on that the last 6 years with affiliates.
That's excellent, Mike. Okay. So Mike Pelage on the geographic and geopolitical. Those are two of the harder ones, by the way. I appreciate the volunteers there.
This is Tim. I'll volunteer for number 8, controversial names.
Oh, another. But you guys are impressing me. You're picking the tough ones.
Wait a minute, Tim. It's Marilyn. I wanted that one.
you figure GoDaddy's getting a jump just in case they ever have any Super Bowl ads. They're controversial in that nature.
Okay.
We'd rather call them GoDaddy-esque names.
GoDaddy-esque. Okay.
Okay. Now, the categories left are easier. excuse me. My voice is about to go.
I would volunteer for the single labels if nobody else wants it, granted that we are, Yahoo is interested in that.
Okay, so you're volunteering for 2.
Sure.
Okay. Somebody else. How about second level reservations for registry operations? Excuse me.
No volunteer.
How does that differ from number 2 and number 7? Registry.
Well, it was a different category in the summary, and so I listed it.
Okay.
It's not just now. You said with number 2.
Well, number the item 2 under number 7.
Numeral
7.
Yeah.
They were a little bit different in the listing. They may actually overlap some there, Tim. So it's a good point. But if somebody could at least look at that, and if you don't come up with very much, you could actually conclude that it's that it is you know, should just be combined. And then we've got names reserved at the third level too. That was a real unique one with Pro, so we may not need that. Somebody wanna take a crack at ICANN, IANA related names and tag domain names?
Maybe throw in number 6 in that one as well. Those 3 all should be pretty discreet.
Yeah, if somebody will take those 3, or if you'll take just 2, that's okay too. But we've got about 5 minutes, and we're not done yet. So I know we have a lot more people on the call. Don't think that you have to be an expert in this. We need to just spread out some workload so that we can, you know, make some progress here, get some thinking going. And this is one way of helping each other. At least you're giving me time to suck on this cough drop. All right. Well, I'll come back to that if we have time here. Next week, I will not be able to chair the meeting. In fact, I won't even be able to be in the meeting. I'm going to be on an airplane, or getting on an airplane very shortly, on it for part of it. So I need a volunteer to chair the meeting next week.
Chuck, tell us what, first of all, before we do that, tell us what we expect to do next week.
Well,
yeah,
we would be following up on what we're just talking about.
Uh-huh. So
the brief report.
Okay.
And hopefully talking about next steps for narrowing down our defining the role of reserve names.
Okay. I'm happy to volunteer to chair if it's just for that 1 week and you guarantee that.
Well, that's fine. I can't guarantee that I won't need somebody to chair again because I think I'm going to run into a problem on the 22nd of February as well. But I'm not saying that this is for more than once.
Might I suggest that we simply postpone or cancel next week's meeting and give us a little time now that we've sort of divided up the work on the categories?
You know, that would be the easy way out, but I just think our time frame is so short that's not a good idea because we're supposed to provide a report to the group in meeting in
sure.
Marina del Rey in the latter part of February, and we're supposed to be finished by the Lisbon meeting. That's just not very much time for all that we've got to cover, so I would rather not do that.
Chuck, could you make a commitment to work with Tim, which I'm sure you'll do, and if I do end up chairing, we could have a call the day before and kind of get your guide?
I'm not going to be very available the day all next week, Marilyn. That's my problem, but except via email early morning probably. What I will do, though, is help work on an agenda that I can send to you and Tim, and not that you have to stick to it, but just that I'll help however I can, but I'm really not going to be very available next week.
We're going to need a protocol, gentlemen, for Tim Ruiz, the important one, and Tim Denton, the staffer.
You know, I wrote a good part of the statement of work, as you know, and I think if we're talking about just trying to be consistent with hearing the reports and then sticking with an agenda that you helped put together and sticking within the statement of work, we could try to progress the work next week, and then you'd be back the following week?
Yes, I'll be back the following week. I will.
Okay.
Yeah, now we have a little conflict that week with a PD February 6th meeting, and I haven't heard back from Aubrey yet on that, but my thinking right now is to go ahead and keep our schedule as planned. There are 5 people that are going to have conflicts, including Avery, on that one. But again, our time frame's so short, and you start changing times, and you mess up with people's schedule all over the world. So, unless I hear, you know, strongly from Avery in a different way, we'll just keep that one going.
And maybe Avery could just move PDP-06 back by an hour.
Yeah, again, I just sent her a message this morning on that because Glenn to my attention, the conflict to my attention. So, okay, Marilyn, thank you very much for volunteering on that. Now, action items for the next call. Have to have the interest statements if you haven't sent one in.
Sorry, Chuck, could we end this call because people are on the conference call already?
Yeah, and if somebody wants to volunteer for those missing items, do it via the list. Okay, we will end it right now. Thanks, everybody. Sorry to rush off.
Thanks, Chuck.